What's going on, Indianapolis? Welcome back to episode 12 of the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stone, other host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett, we had an exciting Pacers game last night. Unfortunately, ended in a loss. I think you told me you did watch the game. It was between the Indiana Pacers and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets, unfortunately, won 122 to 119.
This is the first Pacers game I've watched since, I believe, the bubble in 2020.
Really?
Where Warren and Jimmy Butler met for the first time after TJ Warren like went off. So this is the first Pacers game I really watched since then, and I actually like what I saw. You know, I think it's the best Pacers team there's been in a while.
Yep.
Really excited. I mean, for Benedict Mathurin, I mean, man, he's a stud. He didn't look as good in the second half as he did in the first. Don't get me wrong, but man, he'll be a superstar in the future. I'm really excited to see what Indy is bringing up. And my one goal, and if Paul George, you listening to this, man, come back to Indy and ring chase with us.
That would be wild. But I don't think he would.
If it happened, like, everyone in Indy would, like, you know, immediately forget he left. Like, everyone would be so happy. And, it'd be, like, sure. It'd be like Peyton Manning, you know, coming back.
Yeah, definitely.
So, again, Paul George, if you listening, please come back to Indy. Please. I'm begging you, man.
I love this team. I think that they are anywhere from a 7 to 10 seed this year. I don't think that they're going to get a lottery pick, unfortunately, which is what a lot of fans wanted. But
I kind of wanted a lottery pick, too, because I think if you had, like, another superstar.
Yeah, but I think that it's more important as a franchise that's rebuilding to get a winning culture going because you see teams that constantly rebuild, like the Rockets. The Rockets don't have a bad team. They have talent all over the place, but they lose games because they have the losing culture there, and they have for years.
Yeah, I understand
that. Same thing with the Magic. Like, you gotta get a winning culture, and then things will come along nicely
for sure
for them.
So, do you? I know some people were in a group chat on Instagram, but I know some people were calling for Carlisle's job. What's your opinion on that? I think he's the perfect coach.
No, I think that they were more talking about, and I see this actually a lot of places, because I like Carlisle as the coach. I just think when his contract's up with the Pacers, he could transition to a general manager job somewhere.
Ooh, I could see that.
Maybe
for
the Pacers.
Yeah.
But I really like him right now because he is good at developing players. You saw him do that with Luka, and obviously Luka's very talented, but he was still the coach there.
Right, and I personally really like the hiring of Carlisle. Before that, Nate McMillan wasn't the biggest McMillan fan.
It was McMillan and then Nate Bjorgren for a year.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He was not good.
I totally forgot about that.
That was a year you could definitely forget.
And Frank Vogel's probably my favorite coach of all time.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I do like the hiring of Rick Carlisle. You know, he was an assistant under Coach Bird for, the years that Pacers were very good, you know, 98 through 2000, with Coach Bird, Reggie Miller, et cetera, all those guys. So I really do like Rick Carlisle on the sideline. I'm a fan of him, and I hope and pray he starts winning games.
So, yep. Yeah. I think that I was kind of upset with him last night, though, because the Pacers were down 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
We needed a foul anyways. There was only a 4-second difference between the shot and game clock. And they called a foul on Mathurin, and it wasn't a foul, but you needed a foul. And Carlisle just goes berserk and gets a technical.
Yeah.
Like, you needed the foul there. You got to know, as a veteran coach, you needed that foul anyways. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know why he's
getting
so upset about that. Yeah. But I'll go over some of the stats for the game. Jalen Smith did not have his best performance of the year. He had 6 points.
No, I was disappointed with him.
He had 6 points, 5 rebounds. He played 18 minutes, shot 2 for 9 from the field, which kind of sucks, and then 2 for 5 from three-point range with 5 rebounds. I liked what I saw to Miles Turner overall. I don't think he shot the ball as well. He went 0 for 4 from 3, but he went 5 for 11 from the field at 11 rebounds, 14 points. Andrew Nembhard started yet again. In the absence of Chris Duarte, he played 29 minutes, shot 3 for 6 from the field, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. But Andrew Nembhard's game is more defense. His defense is very, very good. So I liked what I see out there, especially him starting. Tyrese Haliburton played a very, very good game. He had 33 minutes on the floor, 9 for 15 from the field, 3 for 8 from three-point range, 21 points and 12 assists. And I don't know if you're watching the very end of the game, but Tyrese Haliburton, He hit a shot to tie it, and then he missed a three, an open three, really, really badly. And then the final play of the game, you were down 3 points. You had a chance to score. And you got to know, Tyrese Haliburton had the ball in his hands, and he ended up passing it off to Miles Turner to shoot a three. And you got to know, as the best player on the team, when you're down three and you got to take that shot. I don't care who, but like, yeah, you have to take that shot, not Miles Turner. And Miles Turner almost made it. It's not his fault whatsoever, but you got to know you got to take that shot. But a good game out of Tyrese Haliburton. I think I don't like blaming losses solely on players, but Buddy Hield didn't shoot well at all. He shot 2 for 9 from 3-point range. He had 17 points, 7 for 16 from the field in 34 minutes. But if he made a few more of those open threes, then the Pacers win that game. But, you know, it happens with shooters. They have bad games, and I know Buddy will bounce back from that. Off the bench, you had a very, very spectacular game from center Isaiah Jackson. He had 18 minutes, 6 for 7 from the field, 17 points, 10 rebounds, and I'm pretty sure he had a pair of blocks as well. So I'm really liking what I see. There's a certain play in the game where TJ McConnell lobbed up a little like alley-oop play to Isaiah, and his offhand, his left hand, he had to reach way back and grab it, and he just dunked in. It was just a very athletic play from him there.
Yeah, that was nasty.
So those were some of the stats for that game. I think what the Pacers did good early in this game was they got Jokic into bad foul trouble. He had five fouls before the end of the third quarter,
mm-hmm.
and that kept him off the court for a while, and unfortunately, for a little bit, it did go the Pacers' way. You know, they were up 10 points for most of the game, 10 or more, and then it just kind of fell apart, I think. So some questionable referee calls near the end of the game is what kind of made the difference there in cutting the Nuggets' lead. I think they missed a few calls on Jokic, if I'm being honest, that would have fouled him out. But just an unfortunate loss there, but a lot of good signs from this young Pacers team, you know, competing with a top team in the Western Conference. And the Pacers' next schedule, you should have a few wins coming up. Saturday, they play the Raptors at home, which will be at that game. So
that's right.
Maybe we'll get some special coverage.
That's right.
Then you go on the road, 2 games to the Hornets and the Rockets, and then you have 2 home games against the Magic. So, I mean, that looks like 5 wins if you're playing consistent basketball, because I think you're better than those 5 teams. Arguably, you're not better than the Raptors, but I don't think they'll have Siakam there. So, hoping for some Pacers wins up here soon. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Now we are going to transition to college basketball a little bit after talking a little Pacers basketball. I'm Garrett. I think we touched on college basketball a little earlier this week, but now I'm going to go more full in depth to it. Are you excited for college basketball just to start off?
Of course. I mean, maybe not as excited as I was last year, just because, you know, last year Purdue was very, very, very highly ranked coming into the season. So, last year, you know, I was, like, most psyched I've ever been for college basketball just because, you know, my Boilermakers were that highly ranked. But, you know, when unfortunately you're that highly ranked in the preseason, when you lose in the tournament, it stings a lot more than it usually would.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I'm very excited, though, just for the season in general, you know. And this year, you know, one of my goals was, like, you know, when Purdue's lost in the past, you know, I stopped watching the tournament games just because I'm so, you know, fed up that Purdue lost and I get mad. But this year my goal is, you know, even if Purdue loses in the tournament, which, you know, is going to happen, you know, you have to, you know, you're going to watch every game. So that's my goal this year.
Yeah, it was tough for me last year because my Kentucky Wildcats lost first round, mm-hmm. which really stung.
Oh, yeah.
Both of our teams, in a way, it's a revenge season. You know, you lose to a 15 seed in the tournament, so...
Yeah, that St. Peter's run last year was just
that St. Peter's insane. Run was terrific. I mean, it's like you can't do much about it.
Right, you really can't.
Yeah, it just is what it is.
Yeah, good for them, though. And then Carolina just absolutely knew how to play them. And
oh, yeah. I don't even know, like, that would have been an interesting game, you know, if Kentucky or Purdue made it to the Elite Eight and matched up with UNC, what would have happened
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Purdue beat UNC earlier in the season.
Oh, Kentucky beat... I mean, last year, Kentucky beat Kansas by about 18 on the road, and then earlier in the season, mm-hmm. they beat UNC by about 30. So it's like,
it just depends who gets hot in March at the right
that,
time.
That's what college basketball is. I mean, it just depends who gets hot at the right time.
You're exactly right.
You know, you can look like the best team to ever be on a college basketball floor and in January, but if you're not playing good basketball in March, none of that matters. That's the beauty of it. So I was going to talk about maybe a little Final Four previews way early season Final Four previews. If you had to just pick, like, you know, four teams that you'd think probably make it right now, who would that be?
Yikes. I mean, I guess I'll go with my top four coming in the season. So I think Kentucky, Carolina, Duke, Arkansas. There's my four teams. I don't think that's going to be the Final Four, but, you know.
Right, yeah, now. I mean, a lot of people thought TCU, they were talking about TCU maybe going to make the Final Four.
It depends on matchups,
TCU played,
you know,
very bad in their first game. It always depends on matchups. And
right, and I mean, I'm sure TCU is going to be a pretty good team this season.
It's already so hard to predict a bracket. Like, right. Predicting a Final Four is just crazy.
I think
it's
silly how they make these brackets, you know, a week into the season and whatnot. So
Like the bracketology. I love the bracketology with Joe Lunardi, like mid season, but like first week is just, you don't need that.
Right.
You're playing schools called Howard.
Right.
Like, I mean, you know, I think my top four teams overall, I think, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I think UNC might be a little overrated for me. I don't know if they're the number
That's
one
fair.
Team in the country. But I think my top four would probably have to be in no order at all. I'm just reading off the list. Kentucky, I think I'd have UCLA up there. I'd have Arkansas, and then I'd have Gonzaga. And that'd be my top four, I think, just going into the season. And I think that will change, definitely. But if that was like a Final Four, you know, early prediction, then I'd probably have to go with that. But what are your overall expectations for Purdue this year?
I think Purdue is going to be a very, very decent team. I don't think they'll be great by any means, but I think they're a solid team with solid players, with solid depth. So I do expect them to compete for the Big Ten championship for sure. You have a moderate tough schedule, preseason's pretty tough. You have to play West Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke. If you win some games, you'll have to play those in a little tournament before the season starts over Thanksgiving weekend, I believe. So, like, that's never fun to play, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I think Purdue, you know, I think they're a mid-pack. I think they're a top-to-mid-pack Big Ten team. I think they're a tournament team for sure. I don't know. It depends on how the freshmen play, and they played really well last game. So I talked about it. You know, Braden Smith tied for, like, the most steals in school history by freshmen, and Fletcher was seven, and Fletcher Lawyer had 17 points as a freshman in their debut games. So, again, really impressive from both of them. But, it just depends how they, you know, show up in Big Ten play. So,
yep. I look at Purdue as a team where they might get a little underseeded in March. They might have a, you know, like you said, a decent regular season. But I see them as a team that could be like an 8 or 9 seed that could upset a 1 seed in the tournament. You know, get hot at the right time. If Edie's playing good basketball, if your guards are playing good basketball.
I think they'll be more around a...
I could see that.
It depends on how the Big Ten gets.
It does depend on the Big Ten. I just think that they're going to have a mediocre regular season and then get hot.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But, yeah. Anyways, Garrett, going into the season, what would be your early Coach of the Year candidate if you had to choose?
If I had to choose Coach of the Year, are you talking about in the Big Ten or just overall?
Just overall.
Sean Miller at Xavier or Thad Mata at Butler. Two Big East guys. I think they're going to bring a lot to their programs. And, I'm going to say Thad Mata because I think Mata did really well in the transfer portal, getting some good guards. They can win him a lot of games, including former Purdue star Eric Hunter Jr., who was one of my favorite Boilermakers when he was at Purdue. So I think he's bringing a lot in to that Butler program. So if I had a pick in Coach of the Year early right now, I'm going to say the Butler Bulldogs and head coach Thad Mata would be my pick to win National Coach of the Year. Yep. But again, I'm in long season, you know. I don't know. So I would. Yeah. I had to pick, it'd be Thad Mata.
If I had to pick right now, it'd be Eric Musselman at Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty popular pick overall because of the fact that, you know, Arkansas past few years have not been a good basketball team, basketball school mm-hmm. whatsoever. But
Ever since Musselman's got there, the culture has totally changed.
The culture's changed. Yeah, just watching games where they're playing at home, the energy's changed there. You know, Musselman's getting very good recruits year in and year out. And they're winning basketball games. They're ranked top 10 this year. I don't know when's the last time they've been preseason ranked top 10. So it's really cool to see there. And, I mean, I think that obviously the SEC is going to be very tight. You got teams like Kentucky, Tennessee, Auburn, Alabama. But I think that Arkansas has a real shot to definitely win the SEC this year with all their recruits and all their returning players as well.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think there's a coach that, like, you know 100% is on the hot seat because there's one that pops into my mind, and it's going to be tough to let the guy go.
A hot seat.
Because mine is Patrick Ewing at Georgetown. I mean,
yeah,
I like Patrick Ewing. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the greatest NBA players of all time. Again, you know, him and Jordan and Charles Barkley, a lot of those guys made the 90s in the NBA. And don't get me wrong, I mean, he's one of the greatest basketball players ever. But, I mean, you talk about a guy that's just ran a program into the ground, man. I mean, he's never won at Georgetown. He got hot during the 2021 Big East tournament, won the Big East tournament, stole a bid in the NCAA tournament. I thought last year they're going to be really good. I mean, they weren't, and I think they...
Yeah, he needs to...
I think they beat a team the other day by 1 point. I'm going to pull that up real quick. But, yeah, Georgetown basketball has just fallen so far, and it's really disappointing to see, you know, where they're at right now. And, yeah, for a fan, you know, that you know, I like those schools that, you know, are used to be very good. And, like, for Georgetown, I mean, it's just embarrassing. They beat Coppin State by 10 points. They were down with a couple – or they were down with, like, 2 minutes to go or something like that.
Wow.
But Coppin State lost they lost 82-59 to Charlotte. So that just shows you there.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just think it's – I'd never thought they should have fired John Thompson Jr. You know, their most iconic head coach was the John Thompson Sr., and then they let John Thompson Jr. go a couple years ago. Or, sorry, John Thompson III. They let him go a couple years ago. I think his first year there in, like, 2006, 2007, they made the Final Four with him. So I think they actually let a really good head coach walk to go get Mr. Pat Ewing, which on paper, Pat Ewing should, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to go play for the guy? But seeing how bad Georgetown has fallen off, it's kind of sad. So I don't know. I think it's pretty disappointing
Absolutely.
To see where Georgetown has gone. And I hope again, it's just gonna be so tough to fire a guy like you know Pat Ewing, you know, because he's you know when you think of Georgetown basketball, you think of Allen Iverson and Patrick Ewing. Those are the two names off the top of my head I think of when I think of Georgetown. And then John Thompson is up there as well. The guys I think about. So, just to see where they're at right now, it's, you know, sad as a college basketball fan.
Yeah. I want to bring up a guy. I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think he should be on the hot seat. But Mark Few at Gonzaga, he hasn't won a championship there. And do you really think that they're really, really good because of him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he's built that. I mean, when he got to Gonzaga, what was he? I mean, you know, what was Gonzaga when he got there?
That's true, but he's like year in and year out. And I'm not saying he should be fired. I'm just saying that I think pretty soon he's got to win a championship. I mean, he's made the Final Four. He's made the championship. But he's got to win it.
Yeah, I get where you're at. I do. But again, you're not going to let Mark Few walk or go.
Absolutely not. But I just think there's a lot of guys like that. I think at Kentucky, Coach John Calipari, I love Calipari. I don't think that he should ever get fired. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. But I think when you're at a program that built and you have that many recruits coming in year in and year out, you got to win championships.
But Zaga didn't start recruiting until a high level until a couple years ago. I mean, they recruited, you know, high four stars, you know, low three star guys.
Yeah.
But they didn't start getting the five stars until I think it was their first real big five star recruit was, Jalen Suggs a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm right when saying that. I could be wrong. But, you know, it's just. you know, when I see people, you know, say, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about, you know, people, you know, on Twitter and whatnot in general. When I see them, you know, say Mark Few, you know, should go, I was like, you know, what was Gonzaga wasn't anything before he got here. So yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get your point in a way that, you know, he probably should have a championship. But, like, you know, same thing, like Matt Painter, he's not even made a Final Four. He's not on the hot seat in any which way at Purdue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it, you know, it just depends on your program. Like, you know, Purdue's ceiling, in my opinion, is, you know, their ceiling is around, you know, every year is around the Elite Eight. You know, you're probably not going to make it past the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. And, yeah, that's just how it is. So, again, for some of those bigger programs, I understand their frustrations. But, yeah, for, like, a program like Purdue, who should be better than what they are, yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, that's just my rant about it. So, yeah, I don't think Calipari nor Few, you know, should even be mentioned.
I don't think they should.
No, I know what you're saying, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think to some fans it is disappointing, but it is also, you got to take into account, it's very hard to win championships in college basketball. It's not the same as winning them in a pro sport. I'd argue that college basketball is probably the hardest championship to win.
You have to go through
6. I mean, it's a 64 team. I mean, yeah, obviously not yourself, but like it's a 64 team tournament. You have to win 6 games, I believe, to win it all. You have to beat. I mean, if you make probably starting at the Elite Eight, you're playing a top 8 team in the country.
Right.
I mean, unless there's upsets, but even at the time, whoever's in the Final Four, that's the top 4 teams in the country.
Right. I get what you're saying.
So you're having to play tough teams, and so it's hard to base. But
exactly. I know what you're saying, and I agree with you fully there. It's just, you know, it's very, very, very difficult, you know, to make it through the bracket and end up in the Final Four. Oh, and yeah. I don't think people, you know, realize really how hard it is to, you know, be able to make the Final
Four. That's why when Kentucky lost last year, I saw everywhere so many Kentucky fans wanted Cal out. And that just, like, that made me very upset. And yeah, it's disappointing. You lose first round when you have that good of a team. And I think this year, I've said it and I'll say again, I think this year, Final Four or bust for Kentucky. You know, you have an amazing team. You got to bounce back and make the Final Four and hopefully win a national championship. But I think it's just ridiculous to ever call for Calipari's job, because one thing is, who are you going to go and replace
him? Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
Like, who would, like, he's one of the best coaches in basketball, one of the probably arguably the best recruiter in the history of the game. Yeah, it's either, you know, him or Coach K. But
have Rick Pitino replace him.
Yeah.
Bring back Pitino.
Nah, absolutely not. But you know, it's just college basketball fans think they should win it every single year.
They get really, really greedy. And I'm the same way. My dad and I had a conversation about this not too long ago, and it's like, you know, our expectations for Purdue are like stupid. Like,
oh, every single year I go in and be like, yeah, this is Kentucky's year. And
it's with my dad and I, we have this expectation, you know, where we think Purdue should win every game. Why do we think that? Because, you know, we're fans of the team. You
exactly.
Know? So, yeah, again, we were talking about this, you know, our expectations of Purdue are very, 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 you know, I don't want to say dumb, but they are, you know, not the smartest. So, again, you know, we just have to, you know, you just have to think, you know, just, you know, have to remember it's a long season, you know, and even if you do lose in the a tournament game, you know, bounce back next year.
Oh, so, yeah.
I don't know.
That's what Kentucky's got to do this year. Bounce back from last year. You get to forget all about the past, you bounce back. So
yeah. And I'm excited to see what Kentucky does this season.
I'm so excited that college basketball is back.
I am too. It's been probably a long offseason.
It's probably the greatest time of the year.
I agree.
Yeah,
you have Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you have Christmas.
Uh-huh.
You have the start of spring with March Madness. Mm-hmm. It's just like the best time of year.
Right. And then
you have college basketball through it all.
Yeah, I was, again, talking with my dad, but, like, you know, our kind of favorite time of the year is, you know, you get school off or work off for Thanksgiving. You got college football on, okay, or sorry, college basketball on during Thanksgiving, you know, the first couple days of Thanksgiving, you know, you have college basketball on. You actually have Thanksgiving. Then, you know, you have the shopping season, you know, Black Friday. But then after that, you have some games on that Friday as well. On that Saturday, you have college football. Then Sunday, you have the NFL. And then after that, pretty much Christmas season starts up. You start putting the trees around the house, et cetera, there. So I just it's a wonderful time of the year.
Like, college basketball overall just gives such a good vibe off.
Oh,
just
yeah. All of it's that, awesome. It really is.
It's like, man, it's probably, I mean, I think it's the best sport. It's definitely my favorite sport to watch.
Yeah, college basketball. Yeah, just anything college for me, really. I'm not a huge NBA guy. But I don't know. I love college basketball, love college football, you know. And again, just that weekend, you know, the Thanksgiving break kind of, you know, the few days you get off for Thanksgiving, it's just, again, most wonderful time of the year in my opinion.
I do agree with that. But anyways, that was episode 12 of the Playbook Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. You can find us on IndieShine 90.9 on Spotify. And we are now signing off from Ben Davis Studio.